Good morning, sir. Okay, so we're ready to begin our work with you today, and I believe that the Honorable Mr. Johnson will be chairing the hearing this morning, so if you just hold on, sir, he'll be right with you, sir.
Okay. Good morning, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you please state your full name and your ADC number for us, please?
Clayton Boyd Hatfield, 097860.
Okay, Mr. Hatfield, I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are conducting your hearing, sir.
Just for you.
Okay, I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing this morning, sir. We have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, and sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your lead on the hearing this morning, okay? Mr. Hatfield, I'm going to go over some information with you. Then after I go over that information with you, sir, I'm going to ask you to give us some information and go over some information. We do have a letter from the Department of Corrections, and it basically says that they discovered that you were eligible for a parole hearing, and you didn't receive your parole hearing, and so you're just now receiving your parole hearing. I think you're about a year late at receiving your parole hearing. Is that about right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
I think I was originally scheduled for December of 2016, but it never happened. I don't know why.
Right, it was since what, December 16th? However, for some reason, and they didn't catch it on their names, and you're just now having your hearing today. And you're actually having a hearing for absolute discharge, home arrest, or regular parole. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so you're serving a 10-year sentence for attempted to commit molestation of a child, a dangerous crime against children, and you became parole eligible on December 18th of 2016. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Your sentence end date for this sentence, sir, is December 18th of 2021. Is that about right for you?
Yes, sir. That's what the record shows.
Okay. So it also have a release plan in here for you, and then your institutional progress report said that you would like to be released to return to Washington State if possible. If not possible, you will apply to stay at the East Valley Men's Center in Mesa. Said that you had a good record there while you were on probation, including residence of the month. You will be applying for Social Security as you turn 65 in June. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, well then it looks like you had a couple of tickets. You had one and 2017, February 21st of 2017 was for theft of possession, and I believe that had to do with having an extra piece of bread or something. Is that right?
Sir, that ticket was dismissed because it was shown that an officer had given me that check.
Okay, all right then. It does show that it's dismissed on here. Then you had February of 14, you had a discipline, a verbal, which was resolved, and then you had a minor. And June of 13, which was a minor for a violation of department policies or something, but it looks like you've had very minimal discipline since you've been incarcerated.
Yes, sir. The one ticket was because the vent was covered in a room that I had moved into, and I think you just resolved it verbally.
Okay. So you've been incarcerated before, and it shows that you had some parole hearings, but is this the first parole hearing you had on this current charge that you're in on, sir?
Yes, sir. I was on probation, and I violated my probation by going to see my little sister without permission.
Okay. And actually, what you currently in custody for is an incident that happened back on March 17, 1992, where you were charged with counts 1 and 2, molestation of a child, counts 2, felony and dangerous crimes against children, and count 3, public sexual indecency, a class 5 felony due to the fact that you actually had a bench trial and the judge found you guilty. The victim was a 7-year-old victim. I think he did admit to taking photographs of her, but you denied ever sexually touching or engaging in any sexual conduct with her. Is that right?
I'm sorry, sir. Could you repeat that again? I didn't catch what you said about photographs. I'm sorry. Can we go back to March? What you were saying about March
1992. This is an incident.
I'm sorry, sir. The phone is cutting in and out.
All right. Can you hear me now, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's better.
Okay. It says that back in March of 1992, you were charged with count one and count two, molestation of a child, a class two felony and dangerous crime against children, and count three, public sexual indecency, a class five felony. It was the result of a bench trial that you had, which means you just appeared before the judge and the judge made a decision to find you guilty. Is that about right?
That's correct, yeah. Okay.
And it involved an incident involving a 7-year-old female, in which you took some photographs of the female, and the female alleged that you had some sexual contact with her. However, you denied having any sexual contact with her. Is that right?
No, sir. There were no photographs. I touched her inappropriately on the outside of her clothing. This is the first time I've ever heard of any accusation of photographs.
Okay. So I'm going to go over some information with you, and you can kind of correct me if I have some of this wrote down a little bit wrong. After you were released from prison in November of 1999?
That's correct. On count one, yeah.
Yes, sir. And then you had, in December of 1999, you absconded from probation. You failed to notify the probation department of your current whereabouts, and you failed to register as a sex offender, and you were delinquent on your fines and fees. You then went to Iowa, I believe it was Iowa. You were convicted of a third offense in 2001 and sentenced to no more than 10 years in prison for a sex offense with minors. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's when I took the photographs of the 16-year-old girl.
Okay. And then it says in May of 2011, you were reinstated to standard probation and given sex offenders conditions back here in Phoenix after you were...
That's correct. Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay. Then it says on May 18th, you were complying with your probation conditions, but you absconded probation again, and a warrant was issued for your arrest. And then on June the 28th of 2012, you were arrested in Richland, Virginia.
Richland, Washington.
Yes, sir.
Virginia was my sister's name.
Okay. In Richland, Washington, at the time of your arrest, you were in the possession of marijuana and failed to register as a sex offender along with the felony warrant. Is that right?
That's correct. The registration violation was actually a miscommunication. I received 1 year's probation instead of prison time because I was registered and the address was correct, but I hadn't re-registered in a timely fashion according to the change in Washington laws.
Okay. Well, it says here, sir, that you were convicted of the possession of marijuana and failure to register as a sex offender, and you were sentenced to 90 days in jail?
Yes, sir, with 89 days suspended.
Okay, all right. And then September of 2012, you were returned back to Maricopa County on the probation violation warrant. Is that about right?
That's correct.
Okay, you were on lifetime probation, and then looks like in October, your probation was revoked, and you were sentenced to 10 years in the Arizona Department of Corrections, which is what you're currently in prison for now. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So why don't you tell this board, we haven't had an opportunity to talk to you before. Tell this board what was going through your mind or what was going on with you during that period of time that these incidents occurred.
During which period of time, sir? While I was on probation or when I violated?
From the time that you got arrested on your original charge and then when you were released and put on probation, violated, up until the time you were brought back and your probation revoked. What was going on with you during that period of time, sir?
Well, I was a little angry and a little frustrated. The conditions that they had me living under in Arizona were just almost inhuman. I had no place to go. At that time, CAS didn't exist, and I was spending my days sitting in a vacant lot where there was not even any water available, you know. And the state had released me to Washington, actually. The DOC drove me to the airport and put me on the plane to fly back. And when he told me that I had to come back to Arizona with no place to stay, I became angry and frustrated and tried to run from my problems instead of manning up and facing them. That's just about what I'm down to. And of course, when you're on the run, you know, desperate people do desperate things. I wasn't ready to man up and face it. I had no excuse for that.
Okay, so the original charge that when you were arrested here on the molestation, attempted molestation of the child, what happened with the 7-year-old female, sir?
Well, sir, she said that I touched her inappropriately, and evidently I did. She would not say something like that if it weren't true, but I can tell you that after 4.5 hours on a polygraph, there was no intent to molest her. It just, I can't explain that, but, you know, it was a touch on the outside of the clothing, and I spent 10 years for it. I think that's sufficient.
Was there a vibrator that was used in during the process of this, sir?
No, sir, there absolutely was not.
So that was just an allegation?
And the allegation of my having sex with a woman, it just never happened. There was no woman, there was no sex. I didn't even date a girl in the year that I was down here. I have no idea where that came from, but it was moot because what I was guilty of, they ran that charge with a year's probation or whatever, ran it concurrently. It was irrelevant. The charge for which I was sentenced to prison was true and accurate, and I did the 10 years and did it without complaint. It was just and
So the allegation that there was a vibrator used with the 6-7-year-old female, that's not true? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not true, but it's irrelevant because I did touch her inappropriately. So regardless of what I touched, whether it was my hand or not my hand, it's irrelevant. I touched her inappropriately, and that's what counts.
Okay, so sir, when you went to Iowa, did that happen after you had been incarcerated?
After I'd been incarcerated in Arizona, yeah.
Yeah, so why did you go to Iowa and then get involved in another sexual molestation or of a child? Or...
Well, the girl involved had come to my house and requested that I take the photographs, and the nature of the photographs themselves, it's on court record that the work was excellent, is what the judge said. It wasn't so much the nature of the photographs as it was her age. I was under the assumption that she was an emancipated adult because she had a 6-month-old baby that she was raising, but I found out at trial that her mother actually had legal custody, and she was still a juvenile.
So are you still attracted to young females?
Minor females? Sir. No, sir.
What have you done to find out what your triggers are when it comes to these type of offenses, sir?
I completed an extensive SOTP program. It's on record with the court. And in the time that I was on probation, I successfully applied it. I understand that I shouldn't have gone to see my sister without probation, or without permission, that she wanted to see me before she died. And if you've ever lost someone that you care for, you ask yourself what you would do and what you would give to have that one last day. So I gave 6 years, but I have to tell you, I would do it over again for that one last opportunity to say goodbye.
Okay, so I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you. Sir, were you on lifetime probation?
Yes, ma'am, I was.
And as a result of your prison term, will you be on lifetime probation when you're released?
No, this is the end of it.
Thank you, sir.
So I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Mr. Quinones?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Hatfield, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
I just want to be clear on this. Do you have a history of sexual acts with underage females?
Well, yes, I guess I do. It's on record. There's no proclivity there. As a photographer, you're looking at two out of about 125 that were underage.
I just asked for clarity because based on your statements, I'm not finding you very accountable for your actions. It sounds like you choose words that sort of mitigate your involvement with underage females.
No, I'm not trying to mitigate at all. Like I said, I did what I did, and I've done the time for it, and I've done it without complaint. I didn't try to wheedle my way out of it with plea agreements or whatever. I went in, I pled guilty because I was guilty.
Now, this certainly is not the charge that you're in prison for. There's a statement in the pre-sentencing report that you'd felt that you'd been sexually abused by your sister. Is that true?
Well, that's correct. When I was about 7 years old.
And you're saying this is true?
Yes.
Okay, I have no further questions. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Neal?
Yes, sir. I just have a couple of points that I'd like to clarify. Okay, you say you were a professional photographer?
Yeah.
Okay, and you said you made reference to over 100 females you took pictures of, and only two or three or whatever the number was were underage. What age range did you normally take pictures of the young ladies?
They were 15, 16.
No, the ones that were over 18.
About 20 to 45.
Okay, and you did that for compensation?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, so I just want to make sure, I'm just kind of going back through here, but at one point the police department did a search warrant on your residence, is that right?
Yeah.
And in that search warrant, they found several photos of what appeared to be females under minor females that you had. Is that right? I mean, you said.
Well, there was one female.
I the report said they found several photos of females that appeared to be under be minors.
Well, it was several photos of one female.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we don't have a police report. We just have a pre-sentence report, so we're going off the information that we have in the pre-sentence report, sir. So we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, Mr. Hatfield. Is there anything else you'd like to say to this board without repeating yourself, sir?
Yes, sir. When the judge put me on probation, she denied the monitor and intense probation because she said it was overkill in my case. The probation office allowed me to work at the ballpark for the whole season of Chicago Cubs spring training. They had me scheduled to move in with a female roommate. The court didn't see me as a threat. threat. The probation officer didn't see me as a threat. Nobody that I worked with even had any indication that I'd ever been in trouble or was a problem. I'm not. If you're going to ask whether I deserve to be in prison, then nobody who comes to this home should get out. If we didn't deserve the prison, well, we wouldn't be here. If you're going to ask if I need to be in prison, the answer is no. It's done. This goes back to 1988. You know, it's over. There's really no reason for me to be in prison any longer.
Okay. All right, so the board's going to go into discussion, Mr. Hatfield. While the board's in discussion, sir, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line so that you can hear the discussion taking place. The board doesn't discuss these issues other than in the public at the hearing. So you'll hear the conversation going on with the board. We'll make a determination whether to deny or grant you absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest at this time, sir. So please stay on the line. The board's in discussion. Remain silent while the board's in discussion.
Okay.
This is an interesting case for me, at least, with Mr. Hatfield. He, in his later years, got involved in these sexual assaults. He did a 10-year sentence here in Phoenix and was released on a 10-year sentence here in Phoenix and on parole, went back to Iowa, absconded, went to Iowa, got involved in another sexual offense with an underage minor, and again received no more than 10 years in prison for the offense that he was convicted of there. And then he came back here and was reinstated on probation with sex offender conditions, and he still absconded and went to Washington, where he went to go visit his sister, where he was subsequently convicted and brought back here. As a result of that, his lifetime probation was revoked, and he was sentenced to another 10-year sentence here in Arizona. I think based on the information, I and the fact that he has was on probation and did do time and went back to Iowa and did the same thing with another minor child, I think that Mr. Hatfield would be a threat to the community. He's already shown that he's absconded from probation and parole that he was on twice. It left, and as a result of it, he had his lifetime probation revoked and sentenced to prison. When he gets out, he won't be on any community supervision. I think that Mr. Hatfield is not a good candidate to be released. I think there is a threat to the community, as he has shown that he doesn't follow the rules and violated his probation twice. And during at least one of those times, he did commit another crime while he was still out on probation. And I'm not in favor of granting Mr. Hatfield regular parole, home arrest, or a absolute discharge.
I agree.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that Mr. Hatfield has made some statements to the board that just aren't consistent with the information that was provided in pre-sentencing or adult probation. In particular, a remark in his adult probation report from 2012 that stated, the defendant's history of reoffending against children. This officer is concerned that he may be reoffending again in the community. He's a high risk in the community, given he's absconding from probation, etc. And frankly, I think this is not our role, but he received a lenient sentence for his crimes. And that's all I'll add. Thank you.
Okay, I do want to also note that there is a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office who is also and states the same thing. Basically, Mr. Quinones is what you stated in the parole officer, probation officer's report in objection to any early release for Mr. Hatfield. So I am therefore going to make a motion to deny Mr. Hatfield regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest.
Second.
Agreed.
And are you asking for a set off?
Yeah, we'll do a 1-year set off.
Agreed.
The motion was made by myself, seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed on by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed on by Mr. Quinones, to deny. We will ask for a one-year set-off. The reasons for denial are going to be is that it was a, I'm going to say it's a serious and violent offense, as it was a sexual assault that involved minors. It was marked as a serious and deviant offense. There was trauma to the victim, or the marked age of the victims, as the victims were minors. There were more than one victim as multiple victims that was actually involved. I don't know if I should mark serious bodily injury. There was injury to the kids, but I'm going to just not mark that one. I'm going to mark it violated previous parole, prior criminal a history of assaultive behavior as a sexual assault, and I'm also going to mark a repeat offender. I'm going to mark needs closer supervision. I'm also going to mark poor no release plan. I'm also going to mark no family or community support, although he did have the information in there. I'm just going to leave that one blank for now because it was going to go state with his sister's mayor passed, but I didn't really see any letters or anything in there from the family, so I'm going to go ahead and mark no family or community support. Those are going to be the reasons for it now. Mr. Hatfield?
Yeah.
Sir, the board has voted to deny you home arrest, absolute discharge, or regular parole. Also voted to give you a set-off for 1 year. You'll be eligible to come back before this board. Did you hear the reasons for the denial, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. So, sir, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Hatfield. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board.
All right, well, thank you. Have a good day.
You too, sir.